So tonight, we're going to go through just mostly Purim, Megillat Esther stuff. I figured Pesach time, we prepare and go through the Haggadah. So we'll go through some psukim ideas on Megillat Esther, but just because it's also, of course, the Parsha this week, we'll start with two ideas on the Parsha, and then we'll transition to some nice stuff on the Megillah and Purim itself. So take a look at page number one. Oh, and the Frua Shlema for Daniel Gibber's mother-in-law, Freda Bas Malka Sara. So Sharchal Yisrael. So the first one is the Avni Nezer on the very first pasuk of the parsha of Tetzaveh. So it says in the pasuk, "V'ata Tetzaveh b'nei Yisrael v'ichu lecha shemen zayzach kasis lemor." They would crush the oil, the olive oil, to be used for the mor. So he points out in the Avni Nezer, "Hazayzim kotesh b'machteshes v'ino tochnam." They would crush it, but they wouldn't grind it. Rechaim. They didn't want there to be any pieces of olive. They wanted to be pure olive oil when it came to using the menorah. So they crushed it, but they wouldn't grind it. After the first drips of oil will come out, then they would take the remaining olive and then grind the olive to get more oil. But of course, that olive oil, the second round, would have some shmarm, some pieces of olives in it. This second olive oil, pasul the menorah, would not be good for the olive, for the menorah, because only shemen zayzach, only pure oil, would be good enough. However, the second round of oil will be good enough, kashul menachos. That's the din. And that's what it means, kasus lema'or. The first pressing was good enough for the menorah, the light, lo kasus lema'or. That which was trapped or ground for menachos would not be good enough for the menorah. So he wants to know, Avnei Nezer, why is the first shemen good for the menorah, and the second shemen not good for the menorah? Hatam mahu, what's the reason? He says, or neiros ha-menorah, romas ala Torah. We know that the candles of the menorah represents the light of Torah. Well, the Torah tzrichen seichel nivdal. We have to have a separate type of intellect. Beli tarovas shapsos, without any types of external things distracting us, distorting the mind. It has to be completely pure. Ukemoshe shemarim ma'achirin es ha'tachos ha'shemen. Just like the shemarim, the sediment, the olive, darkens, clouds, the olive oil. Kein ha'chumrius ma'achir es ha'tachos ha'seichel so too. Any types of gashmias in this world will also taint the purity of the intellect. And that's why the menorah, which requires pure knowledge, needs to come from pure oil. Achiris kolshi molida tos, any type of impurity will cloud and darken the intellect. Lachain kidei lezakos l'seichel v'atorah tzarech adam liyos muvdal min ha'chomer. For a person to really be zoche in a accomplishments, achievements, and learning, he has to be completely separate from anything physical min ha'psolos. Menachos, on the other hand, which comes v'asher hin balas l'kapara. Person brings a mincha when he has to bring a kapara. He did something wrong. Me'at psolus enenu mazekes behem. If there's a little psolus inside, it doesn't affect. The kapara will still be accepted. Ke'ish hatzarech l'kapara. The individual who requires a kapara, be'echrech adayin enu menuka. He obviously isn't completely pure. He did something wrong. Mikol psolus. Therefore, it's okay. We could tolerate an olive oil with some olives hanging out, that's okay, because I'm also, I have my psolos in it. And from a kapara standpoint, from that idea of being a chatas, we can accept this secondary type of oil. Psolos is tolerated, as opposed to when it comes to learning, that requires the purest of oil, the purest of minds. Next one is number two, page number two, is in the Otzer Chaim. Many of Farshim point out that last week's parsha, Truma, had all the kalim of the Mishkan. The menorah, the mizbeach, the shulchan, the aron. This week's parsha Tetzaveh has all the begadim. The very end of the parsha, we return back. Oh, we missed one, the kalim, the mizbeach haketoros, right? The two mizbeachos in the base of Mikdash. The big, the main mizbeach where we brought all the karbanos, and then there was a small mizbeach called the mizbeach haketoros, whereby we would put all the incense on every single day. That mizbeach haketoros was left out to the end of this week's parsha. It's very much out of order. It's out of place. So Otzer Chaim says, I'll say this outside, he quotes from the Me'e Shiloach from the Ishbitzer. Ishbitzer says there's a special segula for the Mizbeach HaKetoros, that for wealth. You want to become wealthy, so you're zocha to the Mizbeach HaKetoros. The way it worked was that any Kohanim that already had the zechus to do Mizbeach HaKetoros in his life, he was not able to be in the lottery, the pious, for the Mizbeach HaKetoros. He did it once, you're zocha, you're yotze, that's it. Only people who haven't yet had a chance have the opportunity, because we have to spread the wealth. Give other people a chance at the school. So now, what could very likely happen is that the Kohen gets the Ketores. He gets to do it. And now his intention is that I'm going to get wealthy. I'm going to make a lot of money right now. So that would be, although it's correct, it wouldn't be the right intention. That shouldn't be the purpose of the Ashiris. The purpose is because it's a mitzvah. The purpose is l'shem shemayim. So says the Ishbitzer, we therefore read all about the Begadim in this week's parasha, the Big Day Kuna, which talks about how the ksones and mechaperes and shvichas damim, and the mechnesayim is mechaperes on gilarayas, and the mitznefes and mechaperes and gazeruach, and the avnei is mechaperes and hiralev, all the different averos. So Big Day Kuna represent a person refining his midos, refining himself, and now he's prepared to bring the ketores and realize it's not about the money. So therefore we have to have the whole introduction of Big Day Kuna. Make yourself better, get rid of all the averos, and now when you bring the ketores on the Mizbeach HaKetores, we hopefully will have the proper intentions, the pure intentions of not for the Ashiris, which is going to come, but the intention, of course, should be L'Shem Shemayim. So those are the two we have on this week's parsha. Let's move now to page number 3, Megillas Esther. We have 6 of them. I just come back from Eretz Yisrael this morning. I had a chance to read the Chassam Sofer's Perish on Megillas Esther one way, and Rav Chaim Kanevsky's Perish on the other way. So I have a compilation of both the Chassam Sofer's Perish and Rav Chaim on the Megillah. Okay, so Toas Moshe, number 3. He says as follows. He asks a question. I'll say this one outside. You could follow inside if you like, but I'll say this outside. Gemara tells us in Megillah Daf Yud Beis Mabez that the Talmidim of Shimon Bar Yochai asked him, what did Am Yisrael do wrong that they almost got wiped out? Why did we get to such a point, to the last second we were saved, what did we do wrong? So he says, because we were nehenah from the Suda of Osa Rasha, we benefited from the Suda of Achashverosh. So asks the Chassam Sofer, what was so bad? The worst thing could happen. The worst thing they could have served us was Nevela and Treif. Now that's a good thing. But Nevelos and Trefos, that's at worst a lav. A lav is Malkus. So how come, certainly, why we chayev Misa? Why did Haman almost destroy us? Where's the chayev Misa from eating Nevela and Trefa? So he gives 2 answers. One answer, he says, is the Midrashim say, they also served Stam Yenam, wine that was touched by a goy. They also served Bishul Akum. Those are both Isurim Midirabanan. Now, the Gemara tells us a person who's over on Divrei Sofer and Divrei Chachamim is Chayv Misa. So it wasn't because the Isser Torah, the Divrei Torah that they violated, eating Nevela and Trefa, but it was the Isser of eating Stam Yenam, drinking Stam Yenam, and eating Bishul Akum, those Dinim, which are Divrei Sofer and Dirabanam, that's why they were Chayv Misa. That's one answer. But then he says another answer, maybe this is a different reason. Just take a step back and understand, why was there a Suda? What was Achashverosh celebrating? Why did he have such a Simcha? Because he had a whole Cheshbon. He counted the 70 years. We had Masorah, that Am Yisrael will be in Gullus for 70 years after Bayis Rishon was destroyed, and then we'll build Bayis Sheni. And the different kings throughout the years made a mistake in how to calculate the 70 years. They all were wrong. Achashverosh finally made a cheshbon. He thought he was certainly right. He said he had it down. 70 years have expired. Bayis Sheni isn't coming. Must be, it's never going to be rebuilt. He took out all the Kalim and Beis Mikdash, all the Big Day Kuna. He started celebrating that the Bayis Sheni will not be destroyed. Will not be rebuilt, rather. And Klai Yisrael participated in the Suda. In essence, they were celebrating the eternal destruction of Bayis Sheni. That's worthy of Misa. How do you know that's worthy of Misa? By celebrating a delay of building the Beis HaMikdash. So he says in the times of David HaMelech, Chazal teach us that there was a Magefa that took place. Every single day, there were 100 people dying. And that was the reason why David HaMelech was Masakin 100 brachas, Mea brachas. For the 100 people who died every single day. But why were they dying? So the Chassam Sofer explains, based on Chazal, because they did not build the Beis HaMikdash. They had the opportunity to build the Beis HaMikdash. They should have built the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. And because they delayed building the Beis HaMikdash, 100 people died every single day. So you had to therefore bring Mea Brachos to stop the Magefa. And the Chassam Sofer says, why 100? Because the height of the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Rishon, was 100 amos high. So that was why, in the times of David, they were dying, and that was the same reason why they were worthy of punishment of death in the times of Esther and Mordechai, because also they were celebrating, if you will, they're participating in a celebration of the delay of the rebuilding of Bayis Sheni. That's the Chassam Sofer's pshat. That's what went on. And next thing, if you look at page number 4, the Chassam Sofer as well, we can read this one inside. It says in the Megillah, Yimei Mishta v'Simcha, the days of partying, days of Simcha. Ronan already brought out some drinks tonight. It's a pre-celebration. Sudas Purim, she'achla b'layla lo yatsa. Unfortunately, you're not yotzei tonight. And certainly the night of Purim as well, you're not yotzei the mitzvah of Suda eating or drinking. And he wants to give explanation why We only have the Suda during the daytime, why not during the nighttime? Every other Yom Tov we have the meal at the nighttime and the daytime. Comes Purim, we only have a Mishnah Bayom. And he adds, V'yesh Yomim, She'ein Lechel Basar Balayla, you also should not eat meat at nighttime, lest anyone think you're having a real Suda's Purim. Shlo Yomru She'ei Suda's Purim. So why not? What's the reason why we don't have a Suda at nighttime, a Purim? So he says, Ha'inyan ki yasimcha al hakabas atara biratam. The reason why we're celebrating Purim is not only because we were saved and because of the Geula and the Yeshua and the Nisim. It's also, as we know from the Gemara, it was a Kabbalah Torah. That we were forced to accept Torah by Har Sinai, and here we willingly accept the Torah. And now he elaborates. Kasa Ramban, ki haTorah shebichsav kiblu kvar baratzon. He says, although we, Kadosh Baruch Hu, was kafar alem har kegigas, he forced us. Ramban says, he only forced us to keep Torah shebal peh. Torah Shebechsav, we actually accepted Beratzon. It was the Torah Shebal Peh that he forced upon us. The Ramban writes, Ki haTorah Shebechsav Kiblu Kfar Beratzon. We already accepted Beratzon at Har Sinai. Rak Torah Shebal Peh, lo, that was forced upon us. So we have to fix Mesake in the Kabbalah of the Torah Shebal Peh element. Now he writes further, Yadua, Ki Torah Shebal Peh Belayla. The Medrash tells us, the Torah Shebechsav is Bayom, Torah Shebal Peh is at nighttime. It's brought down in the Alpi Kabbalah, a person should not learn Torah Shebechsav at nighttime. You shouldn't learn, you shouldn't do Shnai Mikra at nighttime. Many poskim say you should not do Shnai Mikra Belayla. Laila is meant for Torah Shebal Peh. Daytime is Torah Shebechsav. Medrash says, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know when it was night and day, when he's up in Shemayim? Everything was light there. How did he know? So depending what HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him, that told him what time of day was. So when he was teaching him Psukim, must be the daytime. He started teaching him Torah Shebal Peh, must be nighttime. That's what we know. So he says, if that's the case, yesh svara sheyehei simchas purim dafka b'layla. If that's the case, we already accept the Torah Shebechsav at Kabbalah Torah. So now Purim is a celebration of Kabbalah Torah Shebal Peh, which is nighttime. So shouldn't the Mishnah be b'layla? Why is it b'yom? So the Chassam Sofer says, be'emes kishekibul Torah Shebechsav b'rotzon. You're right. The Ramban's right. We accepted Torah Shebechsav at Matan Torah. But lo Torah Shebal Peh. But you cannot have a Torah Shebechsav without a Torah Shebal Peh. You can't have one without the other. So we accepted Torah Shebechsav, but that was really meaningless. If you don't have the proper Perish, you don't have the Gemara, you don't have the Mishnayos, how are you going to have it? He goes on to give an example. Im Kain, if the Torah Shebal Peh wasn't accepted, Gam Torah Shebechsav, Lo Yalem. They didn't have Torah Shebechsav. How could you understand Psukim without Torah Shebal Peh? Kima Toma, what are you going to say? Nisach HaMayim. Nisach HaMayim is learned out from Torah Shebal Peh. There's no mention of pouring water in the Mizbeach and Sukkis in the Torah. It's a remez. It's a Torah Shebal Peh. Lili Kablus, you're telling me the times of Har Sinai, they didn't learn Nisach HaMayim, about Mitzvah Sukkah, Lulav they did have? You're going to have half a Sukkah here? You keep a Sukkah, you have Lulav, but you won't have Nisach HaMayim? You can't have one without the other. V'chi Efshir, L'kayim Sukkah, V'lulav, B'li Perish, Ade Torah? You don't know what a Lulav is. How are you going to explain? The Psukim tell us what, Priyat Hadar, but what's a Priyat Hadar? You need the Gemara to tell us. So therefore he says, Nimsa Efshir L'zeh B'lozeh. You can't have one without the other. You need both of them. And therefore, even the Kabbalah Torah of Torah Shebechsav at Har Sinai was inadequate. And therefore, although Torah Shebal Peh was accepted at Purim, it was really also accepting Torah Shebechsav. Torah Shebechsav is the Iker. And for that reason, he writes, the Mishnah is Dafka Bayom, because we're actually really celebrating the Kabbalah Torah Shebechsav in Purim. That's what he explains. You good? Was that a little too hard? Okay, fine. Okay, good. Let's now move to page number 5 here. Again, the Chassam Sofer. It's also a long one. Maybe I shouldn't use such long ones today. I'll say this one outside. Which read the top of the first few lines, though. It says, Mordechai Yehudi was the Mishnah Lamelech who was second in command to Achashverosh. Similar to Yosef. Bafil Hachi, even though that was the case, Gadol HaYehudim Achashekvar Alav Nisala Husham Kiso Begavet Merom Milmalchus. Malcolm, he was that way for 2 years, as second in command. But after 2 years, look what happened. What happened to him? After Esther's son Dayavish he was zochah to build the Beis Hamikdash, and Niach Hakol, Mordechai left everything. He left the kingdom, the Alul Eretz Yisrael. He left Shushan and went to Eretz Yisrael. What did he do there in Eretz Yisrael? Says the Chassam Sofer, the Nase Mamona al Hakinim. He was in charge of the kinim, which were the baskets of birds brought by different people. Yoledes would have to bring a basket. He was in charge of that. The Mishnah Skalm tells us, Pischaya al Kinim, who is Pischaya? Zem Mordechai. Mordechai was in charge of that. And tov lo haya lo lios gadol ayudim imona alakinim v'lo lios mishalem elchras. He'd rather be in charge of that area of the kabanos than to be second in command to the king. V'ratzoi l'rov achiv. And he was very much beloved amongst his brothers, his friends. Now he says, the Mishnah tells us, ein osin srara al hatzibur pachad mishnayim. A person cannot have a position of authority less than two people. If you want to have control of something, you want to be gabbai tzedaka, you mean treasure, it must be two people. It can't be one person by himself. Two people at least. Except a few different people, except chutz, mi ben achia shal choli ma'ayim velazar shal parocha she'osim kibul rova tzibra lam. He says there are two people, and we'll say Mordechai at the end as well, two people who actually worked by themselves individually. He wants to know, how come some people got to work by themselves, and some people had to have two people working in their positions of authority? So he says as follows. If you look at the next paragraph, there are two ways a person could get elected. You get elected because the board could elect you, the king could elect you, but the tzibur doesn't elect you. That was decided by, the president elects who he wants as part of his cabinet. But the tzibur doesn't necessarily like the guy who's in charge of the Department of Energy, the Department of Health. That's the king's decision. We don't like him, really. And the other way a person could get elected by the tzibur himself. The tzibur decides it's a different type of election, different type of position. So he says, if they get elected by, let's say, the president appoints a Department of Health or Energy, whatever they are, then you need two people. Because now they position themselves in a position of authority over the tzibur against their will. You can't do this by yourself. You need two people to do this. But if the tzibur elected a person, then the tzibur likes him already. That's not called srara. That's not called authority. They wanted him. They chose him. Therefore, it's enough to have just one person. So look what he writes. Only person who is appointed as a position of authority over a tzibur, either Bezdin makes a decision, or the Melech, or a Shiva to the Ha'ir, a board of seven people, below Ratzin Kol Tzibur. The tzibur didn't agree to this. Even though they have the right to decide who's going to be in charge of different positions, Ein Tzarech Ratzin Kol Tzibur. They don't need the elections. That's called putting authority over the tzibur. That's where you need Tzarech Shnayim. Aval im at tzibur memeila nosim a name. If the tzibur on themselves decide, we want you to be our king, we want you to be the treasurer, we want you to be this for us, and then b'cha'anu rotzim v'chabetim, we want you, ze eina osa sra, that's not called sra, that they decided, they chose. El makaba avodasim shechmal azeh, sagi be'echad, it's enough to have one person. And that's what happened to Mordechai. Mordechai, shekiblu rov tzibur osalem, the tzibur loved Mordechai. When he came into the base of Mikdash, Haynu Dichsa. That's what the pasuk says. Gadol Yehudim b'ratzoi l'rov achiv. That he was great amongst the Jews. He was very much beloved amongst most of his brothers. And Shekiblu Rov Hatzibur Aleim l'chayna levad memuna. Therefore, the Mishnah says back in Shkalim that he was the singular memuna on the kingdom. He did not have a partner because he wasn't against the will of the tzibur. They actually chose him because, again, he was ratzoi l'rov achiv. Okay, now the next few are just much quicker than the Chassam Sofers. So three inside, and the other ones I couldn't find on the computer to copy them. I'll say two or so outside as well. If you look at page number 6 now, this is time of the crowd. This is this is Rav Chaim Pilevsky's parish on the Megillah. It says, Lasos Kiras and Ish V'Ish. Each person should do according to his way. Who's Ish V'Ish? Megillah Daf Yubezim Alf Kiratsan Mordechai V'Haman. Like the ratzon of Mordechai Haman. What's Mordechai and Haman have to do with anything? Perish Rashi, Heim Hayushari Hamashkim Besuda. They were the ones giving out the drinks. They were the waiters. Mordechai and Haman were the ones giving out drinks, wine to everybody. Tema Eich Hiskim Mordechai Leo Sar Mashkim. How can Mordechai be the Sar Mashkim? It doesn't make any sense. He's the Sar Mashkim, Mordechai. Ulahaksha Yisrael Bisrum. He's going to now cause him to stumble. Wasn't he the one himself? Harei Hu Ba'atzmo, his hiram? He was busy yelling at the Jews, Shlo Yelchul Mishra, don't go here, guys. This place is crazy. There's the Vela, there's Treif, there's Stam Yenam, there's Bishlakam, and now suddenly he's serving, he's the waiter for the guys? So this is what a tzaddik does. Yeshlomer, the high time, Be'emes, Ratzim Mordechai, Leo Sarmashkim. This is why he wanted to be the Sarmashkim. Kedei Lishmur Hayayin Letaro, Shlo Yisnasek, so they shouldn't get, he didn't want them to go. But after the fact that he saw that they went, he was the only way to save them from the further Averas. He made sure to keep everything tahor. He made sure no one's doing anything avodah zarah to the wine. Ulizok kisim, a guy might throw something in the wine, might treif it up, might take it, turn into yayin nesach. L'shager ha-tanur l'hatzil, he threw the fire on the oven to save it, bishul akum, we pass akum, the kam efshir l'atzuli mitzilim. They went against his will. They mamash didn't give him any respect. They all ignored Mordechai's calls. I don't care. I'm doing this to save the Jewish people. I'm going to go there anyway. I'm going to be a waiter. Mordechai was a waiter for the guys just to save the Jews as best as he could. Fine. The next one is Yamlichu Tachas Vashi. It's a very well-known medrash which has I saw this year is a sefer. I only saw a picture of it. The sefer called Come Rabba V'Shachar Reb Zera. That line that Rabba Shechter Reb Zera in Purim. There's a whole sefer what that means. 300 pages on that sefer. Fine. So there could be another sefer on the following medrash as well. There's probably just as many perushim on what this medrash means. The medrash tells us that Rabbi Kiva was once Hayayoshev Vidorish. He was giving shir. And Rabbi Kiva was no different than any other magid shir in that people fall asleep in his shir. They began falling asleep, his tamidim. Bikesh la'orim, he wanted to wake them up. Amarlo, ma ra'asa Esther, he says to them, ma ra'asa Esther shetim loch al kuf chav zayin medinas. Why was she zocher that she ruled over 127 medinos? Vishahi by Abita Shasara, she was a great-great-granddaughter of Sarimenu. And Sarimenu chayisa kuf chav zayin shana. Sarah lived 127 years, and that was somehow trickled down to Esther that she was zocher to 127 medinos. And everyone asks, okay, great, the numbers are the same. 127 years, 127 medinos. But what's the shaykhus of the medinos to the years? How do you explain this correlation? So again, there are many, many explanations. But Reb Chaim says it's very simple, and this is something that Reb Chaim himself appreciated in his life. He says, Sarach bir, eich orim aidei drushes. How did that wake them up? Where's the inspiration? What was the inspiring words of Sarimenu and Esther Malka? And this is what he says. Yesh lomar sheheir lehem al chashivas hazman. He was trying to teach them the importance of time. You guys are busy sleeping here. You have an opportunity to learn together, and you're falling asleep. So you know why Esther was zocher at 127 years? Because the years, the time that Esther put in, sheneged kol shana nitnalo medina. Every year that Sarah Menu spent doing what she was doing, davening and all the chesed that she did, she was zocher to pass on an entire province to her great-great-granddaughter. V'hainu vada mishum she'iskev mitzvahs, because she wasn't just sitting around falling asleep. She was busy doing mitzvahs. Umaisim tovim kol shana. If she wasn't doing anything, she wouldn't be worth paying any reward. Obviously, she's doing something good. And you guys are busy here falling asleep, busy wasting time falling asleep. So you have to know the chashivas hazman. That's what he's trying to teach them. Now, Chassam Sofer says, I've shared this in the past, but separately from this, he says this on this medrash. He writes, it wasn't just that she was doing good things with her time. She was also awake day and night. The Takum Bo Laila, it says. The Takum Bo Laila, we say in Eshes Chayil, that it's Sadekis and talks with Sarimenu, who's one of these great Tzidkanios. She had a Takum Olayla. She was up at night. She had a life Bayom, a life Balayla. A true Tzadik, a person who really appreciates the time, spends the time both awake and even when they're sleeping, doing great things. So the Chassam Sofer says, when it says Shnei Chayesara, which means the years of Chayesara, 127, Shnei also means two. It means Shanim Shel, also means two. She lives two lives, one Bayom, one Balayla. And the extra time she put in Balayla, that's really what was passed on to eventually to Esther to rule over the 127 years. And that's just really the chashiva is how a person should take advantage, use his time efficiently. Last one in the Mar Makom, which I'll share two outside afterwards, is the following. It says in the Pasuk, Tzomo alai ve'al tochlu v'al tishtu shlosh yomim, and they fasted, and they didn't eat, and they didn't drink. It's pretty obvious if they were fasting, of course they didn't eat, of course they didn't drink. So what's the Pasuk telling us? That l'chora al tochlu v'al tishtu miyusar, it's extra. The Kfar Amr Vitsumullah, they fasted. So if they fasted, they didn't eat, they didn't drink. V'od, Im Amr Al Tochlu, once it said they didn't eat, Gam Shibachlau. Whenever you mention the word Achila, a Shia is always implied in the word Achila. So why separate Achila and Shtir? So this is a nice chap from Rav Chaim. V'yishlomar da kavana al tochlu matzah maror. Al tishu dal kosos. They didn't eat matzah, they didn't eat maror, they didn't drink dal kosos. Why? Because this event, the first day, is Echad Shepesach Hayab Mehem. This is the event that took place on the night of Pesach. And even though it was the night of Pesach, they still held back from eating the matzahs. They held back from eating the marah. They held back from drinking the dal kosos. And that's why he has to emphasize al tochlu v'al tishlu shalosh yom. That's what he explains here. And I'll just say two quick outside. I couldn't find them inside to put in Mar Makomos as follows. It tells us that when Mordechai, a tzaddik, he had to go fetch the clothing and the horse. For Mordechai, he had to give him a haircut. Chabad Sal teaches, give a haircut. Reb Chaim asks a halacha question. The Gemara in Vodazar tells us there's an Isser to get a haircut from a guy. Not allowed to, because they could kill a Jew while giving a haircut. So how was Mordechai able to get a haircut from a guy? So Rav Chaim says, the Gemara tells us one of the heterim are, the person is an Adam Chashuv. Person's Adam Chashuv, so the goy will be scared to kill an Adam Chashuv, and therefore he has protection. And for that reason, he was fine. Because Mordechai, of course, although Haman hated him at that time, he was still very seen very high in the eyes of Achashverosh, and therefore there's no concern of him being killed. That's one shot. Then another question he asks, another halakha question, says in the Megillah that when Mordechai was climbing up on the horse, so the Gemara says that Mordechai kicked him. He kicked Mordechai, he kicked Haman rather on the way up. He gave him a little kick, knocked him over. And Haman says, doesn't it say, don't rejoice in the falling of your enemies. So how could you kick me and watch me fall and be happy? He says, no, that's only true by Yisrael. An enemy that's a Yid, you can't be happy about. But a guy, we should trample on all of the goyim, that's completely embraced, allowed, encouraged. We're allowed to. That's what the Gemara says. Asks Rav Chaim, said, wait a second. We have the Gemara, we have the Chazal teach us. Why don't we say, what? It's Yisrael's time. Exactly. Why is there no Halo Gamor on Shisha Pesach? Shisha Pesach is a separate Yontif. It's Yontif Achron Shisha Pesach. It's celebrating Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf should deserve a separate halal, full halal shalom. We only say halal shalom in day one of Pesach. Why don't we say halal shalom in day seven? Why not? So the Gemara says, because b'nefol avecha al tismach. We can't celebrate the destruction, the falling of the goyim. That was referring to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, we're certainly not Jews. So how could the Gemara Megillah suggest that you're allowed to celebrate the falling of the goyim? The Chazal tells us you can celebrate when the Mitzrayim, they were dying in Yamsuf. What's the difference? So this is what he suggests. He says that maybe the only time you cannot celebrate the goyim who are falling is when an entire nation is destroyed, then you cannot celebrate by Mitzrayim. But when it comes to individuals, a yachid, then one would be allowed to. And that's the case of Haman, who was a yachid only, there he would be able to celebrate. Perhaps another suggestion could also be, maybe there's a difference between Mitzrayim and a malek. Made by a malek, so we have a mitzvah, we should wipe them out, we should erase them, there you could celebrate. But by Mitzrayim, although they did terrible things to us, that much you can't celebrate. Okay, we'll stop here. Hopefully you have what to say in the Purim. Hopefully in the Suda, hopefully you don't get too drunk. And hopefully something today. Shabbat again. Yeah, that's correct. I knew you knew that.